It is increasing in the sense that the conflict in number one tents and particularly the southern Kordofan is still on. And because interviewing refugees, so our protection officials who are on the ground, when they speak to these refugees, they still continue to mention aerial bombardments as a reason of their fleeing. And at some point, they are mentioning food and the search of education to come to into South Sudan. So as you mentioned there, it is really increasing. And alone in May, we have recorded some 2,000 new arrivals into Ida, and then we settled them or we relocated them to Ajongtok, which is another nearby refugee camp close to the border of Sudan.
Mm-hmm. Now, are these people only coming from Nuba Mountains? What about the Blue Nile?
Yes, the refugees we have from who are now taking refugee in Ajongtok and Ida, they are from both two places. That is the Nuba Mountain area, and then from southern Kordofan, and then Blue Nile. But the latest influx, they are mainly from southern Kordofan.
So, can you point for us the picture of the state of these new arrivals?
The state of the new arrivals, of course, when someone is fleeing from an armed conflict and for the reason I mentioned earlier, that is, health issues, you have anger, you have lack of education, those are things they are lacking. However, when they arrive into our transit center at Ida, we normally screen them and give them necessary support. We relocate them to Ajongtok. And when they reach Ajongtok, we normally give them food assistance, and we give them medical aid, and then we give them a plot of land as allocated by the host community. That's what we normally do whenever refugees arrive.
All right. Now, so specifically, what challenges you think these new arrivals are facing? Because some of them, of course, might be having to coming along with their children. How about education for their children and stuff like that?
Exactly. Whenever these refugees flee from the conflict area, you know, it takes them many days to reach into the refugee camp. At some point, they travel like long hours. They travel like 7 days. So when they reach and like were mothers, they're carrying young babies, they reach very exhausted. And then also you have children who are missing education. You have people who have left school when they were about to complete their P7 or they were about to enroll into the higher education. So at this point, this is affected them psychologically, and the trauma is there. So what we do also is we have our dedicated team on the ground who sit down with these refugees and counsel them before they are settling with the refugees already in the camp.
Now, in the past, there was some sort of an incident with the host community. How is the relations like right now with the host community and the refugees?
I can say it is a cordial one because the host community, they are very friendly to refugees. And by the way, South Sudan host community people are people we are thanking for their generosity for continuously hosting refugees despite their own challenges, because South Sudan itself do not have enough resources to share with the refugees. So despite the meager resources the host communities they have, they still share with the host communities. And in the area of any confrontation between the host community and refugees, it's at a minimal level, because where we are working or where we put refugee camps, the resources that we give to refugees are shared commonly among themselves, like when we put water points, like when we put health centers, like when we build a school. So it's not segregated of who should go there. So at this point, even when we give like maybe seeds, like agricultural inputs, we make sure that some of the items go to the host community. So making it possible for the refugees to coexist peacefully with the refugees and host community in one area.